Hello out there. This is Mark Anderson with the second edition of the new radio show on the Republic Broadcasting Network, When Worlds Collide. The theme is patterned after the now fairly recognizable idea within the Patriot movement of the world of the common man or the yeoman versus the world of the would-be globalists, the would-be world rulers, the ruling class that has us in their yoke. And today, in just a few minutes here on RBN, Mark Anderson, that being me, your host, a writer for American Free Press, I'm going to have a very interesting guest on today, Mr. Carl Pearson, a New York attorney, an honest attorney, and that's not an oxymoron in his case, believe it or not. And this gentleman has a very interesting take on things, and I'm sure you'll agree today. And we're going to want you to call in and share your thoughts at 1-800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And I met Carl covering some 9/11 events last September. My wife, Angie, and I went there, and he was kind of a leader along a certain avenue, if you will, of exploring some recourse on the 9/11 issue. And that's certainly part of what he does. He argues very factually that there never was a crime scene established technically around Ground Zero. Matter of fact, that goes all the way back to the shooting of JFK and Oswald. There was no crime scene established in the Dallas police basement, and there was no crime scene established on Elm Street where Kennedy was taken out. And but that's not the main topic today with Carl. He's going to get into some other things primarily that really shed some light on what we American citizens can do in this bizarre, topsy-turvy world that we're living in these days. We have very little recourse, it seems. It seems most of the press is bought off or just interested in starlets and celebrities. It seems that our vote might not be even counted correctly when we try to correct measures through the ballot box. It seems that whenever we complain at City Hall, it's downplayed or ignored. And Americans really find themselves in a bind, and we start wondering, what can we do about problems even in our own city, let alone at the state level or at the federal level? And so today's edition of When Worlds Collide is going to really get into it, into the nitty-gritty, the brass tacks, with our guest, Carl Pearson. And he should be right online here at When Worlds Collide here on RBN. And stay tuned after the messages, and please call in at 800-313-9443. We'll see you in a minute.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberal.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid.
It's not an electric.
Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at wildmpg.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit wildmpg.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The healing formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied, we offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
The election cycle draws near, and we don't have much time left. If the American people truly hope to make a change in Washington, then we must act now with a cohesive plan for taking back our government. Washington, You're Fired is a new patriotic documentary from the director of Beyond Treason. The video is the result of a two-year endeavor to assemble a video tool for engaging, educating, and motivating the American people to climb back into the driver's seat of Congress. Washington, You're Fired lays out the last 7 years of fundamentally flawed terror-related spy bills in a linear fashion that no one has ever constructed before. The resulting shift in our governmental power structure leaves the American people with only two choices: be a part of the problem or be a part of the solution. Washington, You're Fired is being described as the best patriotic video since Freedom to Fascism, and we want you to get a copy and share it with your friends. We invite you to make the change. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Visit TakeBackWashington.com.
You want to listen in, don't you? Make any noise. That's you. Okay. Okay, everyone out there in Radio Land, this is Mark Anderson with When Worlds Collide, the new show on here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we have a very interesting guest with us today, Mr. Carl Pearson, an attorney from New York City who's got some interesting insights and suggestions how citizens can have a voice in a meaningful and tangible way in this bizarre society in which we live, in which sometimes we feel like we're in a prison with no bars in this country. And, Carl, you out there?
Mark, how are you doing?
Hey, Carl, what's up?
Well, I'm listening to your intro, and I have a lot of things I'd like to say.
Yeah, first of all, let's tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I know you went to, you know, studied law at Harvard and all that. Go ahead and share with the audience, if you will, a little bit of background to kind of set the groundwork for today.
Sure. I, first of all, am a high school dropout, and I failed a couple of courses in high school and figured that I'm going nowhere that way. So I took a year off, joined the Army at 17, and went to Okinawa for a couple of years. And then I decided I wanted to go to college, but my father couldn't find a single college willing to accept me. But finally, Columbia University said they would allow me to attend, but without a degree, just general studies. But one school in New York finally said they would accept me, and that was Long Island University. So I was able to go there, and I became student council president within a year. And in about 2.5 years or so, I graduated and got into Harvard Law School and a variety of other law schools.
Well, very interesting. Yeah, I've told people about you, and I say, hey, I know an honest attorney in New York, and they say, honest attorney? Is this an oxymoron?
Well, it's the problem of honesty is difficult for many people. We're put in a situation in the law where we are hired as advocates. And when you're hired as an advocate, you try to present the best case you can for your side, and the people that have a lot of money are able to present, I guess, a more effective case, and the good people don't always win. So I guess honesty is sort of wrapped up in that issue of being paid advocates.
Yes. Well, anyway, we can cut to the chase for the audience out there. Our number is 800-313-9443 if you want to call in. Here, after a few minutes of describing what we're going to get into, this is When Worlds Collide, if you're just joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we have Carl Pearson, a New York attorney, on board here to talk about an interesting concept, that of the attorney general at the town level. And you've Carl and I have had a number of conversations about this and other issues, but the Attorney General at the town level is someone who, as I understand it, can kind of break through this jail without bars that a lot of Americans tend to feel like they're living in these days, where they feel like they have no recourse to the economic decline that we're experiencing, to just getting a sense of justice in this, even in their local community, let alone in their state or their nation. If you would, just start with describing the basic concept of a town attorney general, something that you advocate as being very much needed in this nation, and just kind of, you know, lay the groundwork, describe what it is and what its main function and benefits would be.
Okay. The attorney general is an office at the top of a government, such as a state or the United States, and they have awesome power. In New York State, the attorney general is elected, and I view that position as the second most powerful elected official in the whole country. So what I'm thinking is that if the office of the attorney general has been brought down to the county level for prosecutions of people, where you actually have people elected in the county, why is it we don't have the civil side of the awesome power of the attorney general brought down to the county or lower level? We prosecute people all over the place, put them in jail, take away their property, their lives. We destroy people by enforcing their duties. But why don't we have a comparable office to enforce the rights of people?
Because that's a very good question.
The cost of going into court for any one of us is too much for us to afford. It's a function of government that should take place, but is not. So my idea was to have an attorney general at the lowest level of government, where people can actually go in and say, hey, I have a problem. And maybe many people have problems with banks. Banks are charging too much interest, or the mortgages that are being provided are provided fraudulently. So at the lowest level, you would have an attorney general who could do something to help the people enforce their rights as individuals, as homeowners, as employees, as small business people, as citizens. And I thought that that would be an effective way for the rights that we're now losing to be recovered, to have somebody at the lowest level with the taxpayer money as an official function of government be able to enforce our rights, to take the awesome power of the attorney general down to the lowest level of government, and even to fight the prosecutors in their excesses. It would be somebody who would be enforcing the duties, the rights of people, and rights to a job, so that companies that move jobs out of the country or out of the state can be properly prosecuted civilly to ensure that any movement of jobs is done according to law rather than a theft of assets that belong to the community. What right do people have to traffic in lives like that, to merely move jobs around because of monetization activities of slicing and dicing corporations so that the monetarists are able to profit extensively and do so at the misery of the people that live in the town?
That sounds like sheer poetry to me, Carl. It's such a understated or kind of unsung song we're hearing here, ladies and gentlemen, about how the law can be a shield and not just a sword. That's the fundamental problem in our nation, is the law is the sword against the people, but not a shield to protect them. And it's not all that law is bad. A lot of people view any laws at all or any restrictions as bad. A friend of mine and I once had a conversation, Carl, that one of the problems in the United States is not just that there's too many laws and regulations, but there's another way of looking at it, that a lot of times we have laws that are misapplicated, laws that lay dormant, that if we're applied properly would actually act as a shield and would actually redress the people's grievances. Is that not the case, that we have a misapplication of the law in as much as we have perhaps a preponderance of too many laws?
Well, I've got two good examples, and I think the first example is our extensive securities laws. They are so extensive that you and I cannot raise money to go into business. They're so voluminous and so well enforced against small people that we are deprived of the opportunity of raising money to go into legitimate businesses and to create jobs because of the excessiveness of the regulation of securities as to small people. But why is it that those same laws have allowed all of the financial instruments to be created and owned by public companies that theoretically are reporting their assets accurately? And now we find out over the years that these same public companies that have created and are prospering from these securities that are now going down the tubes were falsely presenting the values, and the SEC was doing nothing about it. So why is it that the enforcement is against small people but not against the big people? So once again, the Attorney General at the lowest level could go in there and enforce the securities laws in favor of small people, whereas the institutions that we have in government have been co-opted by the rich, and they don't enforce the laws against the rich. They like to have a little bit of show business, and they enforce laws against small people. But these same laws are out there and should have been enforced, and we wouldn't have had these mortgage excesses. We wouldn't have had the financial instruments that they're using to be able to profit extensively. But in doing so, they have brought down the financial well-being of the country. We could have stopped it by having enforcement of law at the local level. Somebody who could have gone into court and used existing securities laws to stop what's going on.
Yeah, see, there it is. There's existing laws that are either misapplicated or lie dormant, and that's one of the fundamental problems. And in as much as in the Patriot community, a lot of people get this notion that if we just had fewer laws and nothing else is taken into consideration, that a lot of things would get better. But yeah, you're making a very tangible point, a very concrete example there of how law, if properly and fairly and equitably applied through this would-be position, a town attorney general, ideally, that would straighten up a lot of problems. Ladies and gentlemen, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network on today's show of When Worlds Collide, if you're just tuning in, this is Mr. Carl Pearson, an innovative attorney from New York City who's got some very keen insights into what's ailing the nation's body politic and some ideas rarely heard on how to correct the situation. Now, to call in with questions, it's 1-800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, a writer with American Free Press, which you can read at AmericanFreePress.net or call 1-888-699-NEWS. Anyway, Carl, this idea of a town attorney general where the law becomes a shield and isn't simply a sword to oppress the people, how would one do this? Let's say one wanted to address certain problems, which is a question we'll get to right after the break. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is When Worlds Collide. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, an American Free Press writer. We'll be back right after these messages with Carl Pearson, a New York attorney who has some interesting ideas on the concept known as the town attorney general. Please stay tuned.
Are you looking for...
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiovite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiovite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Okay, we're back on the air on the Republic Broadcasting Network with When Worlds Collide, a brand new show here on RBN. I'm Mark Anderson, American Free Press national writer, your host. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. And we have Carl Pearson, a New York attorney who's been on since after the first break, explaining the concept of a town attorney general, a concept rarely, if ever, heard across the nation here as a potential good remedy for many of the problems that plague this country. And Carl, before the break, you were starting to go into the idea of an attorney general and how this would be implemented. We know, as you've described, that it could correct a lot of usurious bank laws. It could help people with outsourcing who have been economically injured. Let's say you just have any town USA in whatever state of the union. How would this actually be implemented?
Well, I believe it or not, I don't think I've told you this, but I have a website on that specific issue.
So go for it. Now, what is that?
And it's lawmall.com.
L-A-W-M-A-L-L.com?
.com/election issues run together. That's with an S. Election issues run together.
Uh-huh.
With no underscore, and ending in an S. And there, just to state, I'm going to read the first paragraph. Most of the candidates for mayor or town council in the nation's 18,500 towns and villages fail to offer local residents and small businesses any credible plan for economic improvement. This website offers what towns and villages need to fight the economic forces that are causing a dramatic decline in small business opportunities and profitability and the standard of living for most human beings in the town or village. So basically what I'm saying there is that they should get behind a person running for mayor or town council and to support the concept of the appointment of a town attorney general. And then in another website, my townattorneygeneral.com website, I offer to go into town with a show, a one-man show, for free in support of the idea that the town can elect someone to or appoint someone as town attorney general. And I'll go in there dressed as the Solicitor General of the United States with a flag and my own town attorney general flag. And as a one-person show, I will stand up there and tell people what the town attorney general can do for their town, and specifically answer any questions that any townspeople have about the specific application to their town, because I have enough experience to be able to tell anyone what
we
can do.
So people can go to lawmall.com/election issues or townattorneygeneral.com. They can read up, they can get a hold of you, and they can have you come to their town.
Correct. And I'm not asking for payment.
And you're
not
asking
for
payment.
I want to promote this. I want to have a town attorney general appointed. And basically in New York, I ran for attorney general of New York State, and I couldn't even get on the ballot in the year 2006.
Why not?
Because the ballot difficulties that are imposed on anyone running for office, and they're imposed by the Republicans and the Democrats alike.
Yes, ballot access and things of that nature.
Yeah, they vote for laws that make it difficult for anyone to challenge either a Republican or a Democrat. The Democrats and Republicans don't have to get signatures, but anyone challenging them has to go out in 46 days and get 30,000 signatures, which is almost impossible unless you have a lot of money or you have an organization. But those that have the organization are exempt from having to do it.
Another way that they stack the deck in the country with an irresponsible press and possible or probable vote fraud and voter fraud, we also have these ballot access laws, as you're describing, where Americans, again, are stymied from taking corrective measures. And this is why you bring, of course, your town attorney general concept to the fore as a tool that perhaps has not been wielded very much. Has any town in the United States entertained this notion, either
yes,
through
I've
your influence?
I've had two or three towns in New York. One of them invited me to speak to the local council, and they rejected that, Wawarsing, New York. And then somebody ran, and the owner of a newspaper in Wawarsing ran this past year for mayor, and he lost. But his platform was, in part, that if he won, he would appoint me or someone else as town attorney general. And another town in upstate New York where the concerts had played many years ago entertained the thought of doing that. But even the mayors of New Jersey, I was publicized. I wrote an article for the mayors of New Jersey which explained the benefits of the town attorney general, and it was published at their request for them in their own magazine.
Interesting.
And I went back and asked some people during a conference at Atlantic City. I went over there and confronted a few mayors, and I wanted to know why they weren't interested. And some people said that they were afraid that what I offered was so good that the town would expand in population beyond their ability to cope with it, and they didn't want to run that risk. They liked the idea so much that it was so potentially great economically for the town that they were afraid the town would be overridden with people coming into town to take advantage of the new economic development I offered.
It's amazing, fearing being overridden by prosperity and problems being solved only in America. So right after this break, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue with Carl Pearson here on RBN. I'm Mark Anderson with When Worlds Collide, and we'll see you after these messages. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid.
It's not an electric.
Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at wildmpg.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit wildmpg.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh, I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443.
Hey, everybody. This is James Martinez from The Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land, this is Mark Anderson with When Worlds Collide, the new show on RBN. We've been talking with Carl Pearson, a New York attorney. Those who have been listening want to comment. It's 1-800-313-9443. And we've been talking about the concept of a town attorney general, a position that doesn't really exist in the United States. Attorney generals are found at the state and national level. Much of what they do is important. But a lot of it is misdirected. The common man, the average citizen in the towns and villages across this country and the cities are underrepresented, if not unrepresented. And our guest today has described the position of a local attorney general at your town level and how that elected or appointed position, depending perhaps on the local charters in the villages and cities, the local laws, this person could go a long way in addressing the effects of outsourcing. And in effect, as I've gathered talking to Carl, in effect, kind of being sort of an antitrust agent, if you will. Am I off base on that, Carl, or is antitrust kind of come into this?
Well, I mentioned two fields before, and I only discussed securities, but antitrust is the primary field of interest for the town attorney general. The globalization, as I see it, believe it or not, and the other evils, and I call them the evil economic trio of outsourcing, globalization, and the declining standard of living. So
yeah.
I've identified the outsourcing and globalization. All of that is caused, as I see it, by our failure as a nation to enforce the antitrust laws against big business. If we had enforced the antitrust laws and the securities laws, for example, Walmart is running a deficit of about $60 or $70 billion a year if they had to identify the favorable pricing that they get, which the law says they shouldn't be getting. If you would take that money off of the books and set it aside and say they're not allowed to receive that, the lower prices that they get, because manufacturers have to sell to Walmart below their cost.
Let's stop right there. I manufacture, I don't know, some product. Let's say picture frames. the cost that it takes me to make those picture frames, if I'm a U.S. manufacturer, wherever I may be located, I have to sell them to Walmart below my cost?
Oh, yes. And the reason for that, people say, well, how could that possibly be? It sounds like it isn't true.
Right.
But the truth of it is that the people that are selling to Walmart below cost are merely buying market share.
Mm.
They're buying market share. People will pay for market share. And they do it by giving, it started off by manufacturers giving money, for shelf space in supermarkets. And that was what the Robinson-Patman Act was designed to stop, a federal antitrust law where the big guys pay for shelf space. So the big guys that have all the stores, and the more stores they have, the more power they have to command a higher and higher price for giving shelf space. So now with fewer manufacturers, because the regionals could never pay for national shelf space at all, the regional manufacturers and their jobs went out of business because they were forced out of business by the fact they could not compete. So that the national manufacturers then felt they had a monopoly for a while, but then when the retail stores became the only place where they could sell their goods, the monopoly went to the retailers, and it's called a monopsony rather than a monopoly. It's a retailer or purchaser's monopoly, and they demand more and more, and the manufacturers say, well, look, I'll pay it now, and that puts my competitors out of business because I deprive them of the sale of those goods. But in the long run, it puts everyone out of business and merely transfers the value of the manufacturer, whoever it may be, to Walmart and the other major retailers. So here is what my town attorney general concept originally was all about, is to have people at the local level, a town attorney general, sue the biggest companies of all for their failure to pay taxes to the town, for the different ways that they impose costs on the town by sending their employees to the welfare health care services instead of paying for them, and to sue the big companies for antitrust and putting small businesses out of business, and to use the money that the town attorney general collects to give free health care to everyone in town.
Interesting. So it comes full circle. You know, there's a lot in there in what you're saying. I'm making these picture frames. I'm selling them below my manufacturing cost to Walmart, but in exchange, they're giving me this high visibility shelf space, correct?
Yes, and then you can sell your goods at a much higher price to the local merchants in the town who then go out of business.
I see. Because
they can't compete in price.
Walmart, through their extensive shelf space, has popularized my product.
Right, and people will pay. In other words, that as long as Walmart is only buying 10 or 20% of a manufacturer's output, it's only a cost of being on the shelf and depriving competitors of that volume. But as small businesses go out of business and drop out and no longer can offer auto parts, for example, then the big auto parts retailers, including Walmart has many times as much sales of auto parts as AutoZone or Advance Auto, for example, many
right.
times more because of all the number of stores. They just don't, they don't have hardcore auto parts, but you get spark plugs and other things that relate to automobiles. So Walmart, the more you sell to Walmart and the more stores there are, the more independent stores that go out of business, the more a manufacturer sees that a higher percentage of his sales are going to the major retailers. And those sales are made unprofitably below cost. When you add up all of the allowances and fees and store payments that are made, the manufacturer decides he really isn't making any money. But what does he do? He's paying for market share until things get better. But things are not getting better because we have no law enforcement. We need to have law enforcement. We need to enforce our antitrust laws, and we will bring the country back again. But we don't have anyone in office who will do that.
The federal and the state attorney generals obviously are too busy or disinclined to do such a thing, and it seems clear that that we have sort of an empty chair, if you will, a position that ought to be created at the town level that's not being created. Is there anything in state or typical municipal law that would prevent creating a town attorney general position, whether elected or appointed?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Number one, there is no elected town attorney general anywhere at this low level of government. And we have 40,000 towns, villages, counties, municipalities, hamlets, and the like. We have 40,000 places where an attorney general could be appointed. Imagine if we had 40,000 people that were out there having the skills that I'm advocating instead of just one person or 51 people. 40,000 people enforcing the law.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
What we
maybe in a low populated area, there could be one at the county level.
Right, one at the county, one at the town, one at the village. Every village and town and hamlet and municipality, city, etc., should have its own one or more. But the interesting thing is that there's no law that says that you can't just appoint one. It's just a lawyer. Just slap a lawyer with a brand on his head saying town attorney general. That's all that it is. You don't have any special statute that you need to hire a lawyer. You just have to have the will to enforce the law.
Right. And so from what I've gathered in this conversation here on When Worlds Collide, for those who are just listening and tuning in, this is Carl Pearson, a New York attorney, talking about a unique idea to redress the grievances of the Americans who are hurting in so many ways economically across the country. For those of you just tuning in, you can call 800-313-9443 to chime in. We've been talking about the concept of a town attorney general as opposed to always leaving that power at the state and federal level. We're talking about all the injustices, the unfair and monopolistic business practices of Walmart and other large corporate retailers, and how this position, this proposed position of a town attorney general could begin to unravel what's going on and address these problems. And another thing I've talked about, not so much today on this show, but with Carl in past conversations, is how not just your corporate raiders, if you will, but your universities and banks also have privileges within society that go unchecked, and these privileges also wreak havoc and drive up costs and things of that nature for small businessmen. What is it that public or, you know, any universities, public or private, or banks, what privileges do they have besides the practices and privileges and inroads that Walmart and other retailers make? We also have a caller, I understand. What's the first name?
He dropped?
Oh, did he just call in? Oh. Oh, well, I guess we'll put it off. Carl?
Yes, I've got an answer.
Oh, okay.
And let's take the banks. In New York City, every single block seems to have one more bank branch opening up. They're all over the place. There is a proliferation like nothing I have ever seen before. Virtually every corner, every preferred location all over the place in the populated areas, the bank branches are going up. Why? The answer is that they have a privilege that George Bush, the current president, gave to these people. He passed a statute. He approved the statute that was passed by Congress, which enabled them to escape from the usury laws of the 50 states. He exempted them from the usury laws, and now they have gone crazy. They are charging the fees, the late fees, the fees all over the place. Every time you turn around, you get late fees and credit card fees and this and that. When you start looking at it, the interest rate is like 1,000%, 2,000%, 3,000%. One day late, or even when it isn't late, $30 because you're $2 late in a payment, and they charge $30, $35. The interest rate on those is so phenomenal that the banks are making hundreds of millions of dollars where they shouldn't be making it, and the bank branches are opening up to get more customers for that usurious profitability of the banks. But the effect of that you should look at. When all these branches are opening up. They're driving up the rents for the locations that otherwise would provide laundromats, restaurants, places to buy newspapers and food and other services, so that all of those services now that are in those areas have to pay more for rent, and they pass that on to the consumer. So as you are being shafted by the bank, and you see that on your statements, you are also being shafted by their increases, that the real estate value increases that they're causing, because that's driving up other costs for you as well.
Yeah, so and you pay that cost at the counter when you buy that product or service.
Yeah, but when the food goes up, the food prices go up, the sandwiches, the newspaper gets, the newspapers are a case unto themselves because the Internet is driving them out of business. But take the schools. The colleges and universities have a special permit that no one else is authorized to grant, and that is a degree.
Is the main problem public universities that are tax-funded, or does it extend to private
They're basically private universities that are growing and growing and growing.
Okay.
And they grow because they are immune, they're exempt from taxes, and they have such enormous profitability every time they bring in a student. It's $50,000 a year of income they get per student. So they can afford to put up and they can afford to buy housing. They can afford to buy buildings, level blocks, and create new buildings, because every student every year is another $50,000 of gross income for them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for every little person, $50,000, and they only have to shove one more seat and one more little cubicle to live in, and they get $50,000. So this is done only because they're granted the right to give a degree. A degree is something that is state-approved, and only a few people get to grant degrees.
We have a caller. Jack? Jeff. Okay, we have a caller. Jeff in Indiana. Fire away. You're on When Worlds Collide on the Public Broadcasting Network.
Hello. I've been diligently listening to your guest, and I have, first off, a statement and then a question, if that's okay with you, gentlemen.
Oh, fire away. Yeah, absolutely.
Sir, I see all over the nation, I watch diligently, and I think that there is a great awakening going on, a resurrection, if you will, of the sheep that they have been fleecing for all these years. Do you see the same thing?
A resurrection of what?
He's saying that there's a kind of a revival of people realizing they're being sheared like sheep, and they're starting to wake up. Do you see the same thing?
Oh, I do, but they don't know what to do about it, because
yes,
nobody
and
is organizing them into what to do. You are left to the traditional Democrat-Republican devices that we know historically don't solve the problem. They create the problem.
I would agree with that. And
I'm not a solution.
Beyond that, here would be my specific question for you. We have a study group of probably 20, 25 guys, and we've been doing it for 15 years. And we're starting to understand how the money works in this country. And my question for you is in specific is this. When I go to the local store and I buy something, and I use my debit card, when I use that debit card, they're taking the money out of my account, but they still want a signature. Now, we know that the money in this country is all produced through our signature, because under HGR 192, they made us the collateral for the national debt. That means that if the people ever wake up and figure out that they are the creditor and not the debtor on this account, then the system's got a big problem, in my opinion.
People know that now, and the way they know it is that they are working harder for less money, and they have home values that are now below the money they owe on it. So people already know what you're saying, and the problem is, what do you do about it? See, to really just understand the symptoms is not dealing with the problem. You have only come to the level
okay.
of understanding.
Okay, hey, gentlemen, we're going to have a little break here on When Worlds Collide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And you've been listening to Carl Pearson, an attorney. Jeff, I'd encourage you to hang on and ask another question if you'd like. I love having you call. The number's 800.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Okay, we're back on When Worlds Collide here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, a brand new show. We got just a couple minutes before the top of the hour to continue talking with Carl Pearson, a New York attorney, speaking on the unique topic rarely heard of establishing a town attorney general to alleviate many ills in this nation, even at the local level on up. And Jeff, are you still out there?
I'm still here, sir.
Yeah, we got just a minute or so. If you have a further question or comment, that's fine.
Carl, the action we've taken is we think that these people are taking our money from the private side, using our signature and going and getting money on the public side of it, and they're actually getting paid twice. They're using a 1099 OID, and they're collecting our funds that are sitting there that were our funds because we created them with our signature. And we're taking the 1099 OIDs and going back and reclaiming our money. Do you have an opinion?
Are you familiar with that, Carl?
Well, a 1099 is the form of an independent contractor.
Yeah, that's
the tax
form.
Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. Is that what you mean, Jeff?
Well, yes, sir. When we're dealing in commerce, every transaction is a commercial transaction. And we're just claiming those back because if we're the principal and the creditor on the account, then all the interest and principal returns to the creditor.
I'm not sure exactly how the 1099 fits in, but if people, a 1099, as I understand it, is a report that somebody made a payment to a non-corporation, an individual who is presumably in business for himself.
Correct.
And you've received the money, and the government receives a report that you received the money. So the government then looks at your tax returns and sees whether you have reported that money that somebody paid to you. That's what the 1099 is. It doesn't...
IRS form.
It probably doesn't have any withholding, but it might have. There are some instances where withholding is required, so that maybe you're referring to the fact that somebody has withheld money from you, or a bank sometimes withholds some interest if you don't file a form. So I'm not really sure how there's any duplication here, but there is a requirement that you report the income and pay taxes on it.
Sure, and when you pay them your money at any place, any of the retail places, you've given them your funds, and they aren't giving you a 1099 just like anybody else does. Any contractor that works, we know you get a 1099 if they haven't withheld taxes on you. And
are you saying that when you pay money to a retailer, that there's no 1099 given to them?
No, they don't. You gave them money and they didn't give you a 1099.
Well,
they're trying to report the money
to you, and you get the 1099. The one who gets the money gets the 1099.
When
you pay money to Walmart to buy some goods, you don't issue a 1099 to them, and in fact, you don't because they're a corporation. A corporation doesn't receive 1099s.
They made all the people corporations in 1934.
Okay, gentlemen, we have to break for the top of the hour. Appreciate you calling, Jeff.
Sure, yes, sir. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. We also have Bill from Idaho. Please hang on if you're still there. You're listening to When Worlds Collide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you after these messages.